keep Brother Jerry in prayer. He's still feeling pretty rough, so God's going to take care of that for sure. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're grateful we can come here again. Lord, we come again, Father, as you called us to do, Father, just a couple of times a week, but these times are so precious, Father, to you, because you could gather with your family, your kids here in Dixon, Lord, and I just pray that it's also a precious time for us, Lord Jesus, to recognize the opportunity we have to come into your presence and to partake of all that you have for us, Lord, knowing that you're taking us, you're leading us, you have for our entire life, you've been over us, you've been watching us. We can look at it and see the evidence within ourselves that we have always been yours, we will always be yours, we will always be part of you. And Lord, you're just preparing us for a day in this very near future when we're going to take off out of here. We're going to get a body change, Lord. We know that's true. The word promises it. And Father, we see the evidence of that more and more as we walk. So Lord Jesus, help us today to take a step closer. Father, I ask that you would help each person in their minds, just have their minds focused, Lord, that each one would hear what you have to say, Lord. Don't let it just be a waste of time or just some duty that we do, but Father, let it be that you commune with each one of us, Lord. Each person, Father, that each one hears your voice and recognizes and understands and accepts it, Lord. We expect this, Lord Jesus. It's your will, Father. It's easy to ask if it's according to your will. So we ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to read out of 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, then also John, the 1st chapter. So we're going to read 1 Timothy 6, verse 13. I'm going to start right there. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to take that into account. It says there's going to be appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show. He's going to show it. Who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So you can see, he says, now there's an appearing, but yet he says, no man can see him. We can't see him, but he's going to appear. John 1, verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You can have a seat. And Brother Branham says this. He says, since there has been man, there has been a hunger in man's heart to find out where he came from, what's his reason of being here, and where he's going. Boy, ain't that the truth? Until you find a purpose for your life, you are just sailing on an open sea with no direction. You don't have any purpose. Life is boring. Life is nervous-wracking. It's fearful. But when you find a purpose and God gets a hold of that and says, this is what I have for you, realize who you always were, brother and sister, you can find a foundation to stand on. He said there's only one can answer that. That's the one who brought him here. And man has always wanted to see God. Oh, my. We all want to see God. What if Jesus Christ would walk into the doors and come and sit down? What a difference that would make, you know? We always want to see God. So Thursday night, I spoke on a thought, scientific evidence. I don't call this to be part two of that. But I want to look at a little bit different angle. And the scientific evidence we saw is that God gives scientific evidence not so much for the believers, but for the unbelievers. It's for the unbelievers. Isn't that amazing? Let me just read a couple of quotes here that I'm all messed up here. Hang on a second. Brother Brown was talking about the picture of the halo over his head, the pillar of fire over his head, the light, right? It happened in Houston. He said, that's the reason in these meetings when I see his scripture produced that he could do these things and watch him move up. See him take the picture for the scientific world, the unbeliever, so they're without excuse. Another place he says that picture has declared it to the scientific world. Now, Father, he's praying. Now, Father, would you come and take over our bodies here, move in the audience to prove the people that you're here to do the same things you did when you were here in Galilee. Then in the judgment, Lord, they'll be without excuse. Isn't that amazing? So this evidence that he gives, is, brother and sister, it's not so much for us, there is an evidence we need, but that scientific evidence is so that everyone is without excuse. And he said these kind of things throughout the message. There's quote after quote. I'm not going to go through it tonight, today. But it's showing this is for the outside world, because if he doesn't give them an evidence that he is real, that the word is still true, that the word is still happening, then on judgment day he can't send them to hell because they had nothing to believe. There's no reason for them. He said, well, yeah, I didn't reveal myself to you. I can't reveal it to you like I do the elect, because I only reveal myself to the elect. The rest of the people, I don't reveal like it to the elect. Now, brothers and sisters, if you think God treats everyone the same, you need to go back and read the Bible, because he treats his elect different than he treats other people. Look at Cain and Abel. He treated Abel different than he treated Cain. He's been doing the same thing ever since. But what he does, brother and sister, is he gives them an evidence so if they want to be saved, they can still be saved even if they're not elect. Isn't he amazing? Look at that amazing grace. You know we sing Amazing Grace, but you know who else needs to sing Amazing Grace? Those non-elect. Because he gives them a chance to be saved even though they're not his original kids. They're a hybrid product. My, what a God. He has this figured out. He knows what he's doing. It's amazing. He said, I'm going to give you an evidence to prove this is true. Here it is. There's a picture. There's another picture. I have this done and this done. And they look right at it, and yet they walk away and say, I don't know about that. But they had their chance. But what about you and I? We want to see God too. We want an evidence too. Because we have to have an evidence. And the evidence, as we know in Hebrews, is that the faith is the evidence. So I need to see something real. It's the faith. It's what God has told you. The revelation of himself to you is your evidence. That's all he's going to give you, friend. And he builds his church on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so he constantly builds on more faith, more faith, more faith, talking to you. Remember, faith is a revelation. Whenever God reveals something to you, that's your faith. That's what you believe. And that's your evidence. If you look for something else, you're going off beyond what he doesn't want to build a church on. That's why you can have all kinds of, well, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I shouted and I screamed and I cried. I rolled across the floor. I have too. And none of that is an evidence that I can build my faith on, because God does not build his faith on that kind of evidence. It's got to be something more. It's got to be something that changes from the inside. It's got to be something that you and Christ have become one and you know his voice. And when Satan comes and tells you, you're not born again, you're not a believer, you're not whatever, you're just a hypocrite, you listen to that. That's not the voice of God. I can define the differences because I'm a child of God. That's the difference, friend. Since the fall. You know, in Genesis 2, it says, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard the voice of God walking. How does a voice walk? What is it, brother and sister? It was an intimate relationship. He said, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. What is it, friends? We want to be in the presence of God. Ever since we lost that, and when Adam and Eve lost that intimate relationship, ever since then, man has been trying to get back into that presence. And brother and sister, that is why this is the greatest time to live in. That is why Brother Branham said every prophet, every sage, everyone want to live in this time, because you and I can live in the presence of God more than any other group of people that ever have lived on the planet Earth. In this time right now, we can have a closer relationship with God than anyone else ever has. That's why everyone wanted to live in this day, because it's when God and man has become one again. I know we hear that all the time, and it's like, whew. You know how I know that? Because of the way we act. There's a song that every time I hear it, it haunts me. Why didn't we recognize the mighty God was here today? And we sing it, and we look at, yeah, those people out there. I wonder how much of that is a reality for us. That's where we're going to end up today, Lord willing. We're going to ask that question again. Do you recognize the mighty God is here today? Do you recognize it today? How does it affect you? The presence of God. Brother Bram's talking about, he said, now gathered in heavenly places. It also means more than just to be rejoicing. In heavenly places, you're really assembled in Christ. It's a fearful thing. How many people, when they think, well, I went to church, I felt anointed, I worshiped, I sang, I preached, I shouted, I danced, whatever, and we think that's the presence of God. He said, this is more than just that. That's just rejoicing. You can get that out anywhere in the world. I was just talking to a friend this morning on the way to church, Brother Wu, you know him, and he was talking about how the people won't take the promised land. Through every age, people will not go on and take their promised land for that age. And here in this age, they're willing to shout and have a great church. We have great meetings. We have all this stuff. You can go to all kinds of special meetings they have. They're having some up in Ohio right now and all this, and there's nothing wrong, and I think they're amazing. But brother and sister, when that's all you have, and I have to go to this church, and I'm going to shout and praise God and all that, when brother and sister, that's what Pentecost brought in, 1906 Pentecost. Brother and sister, what we need to have is this, put us into the very presence of God where we take the promised land, which says that me and him have become one. It's more than just that I can get anointed, but it's that place where I am in his very presence. He's right within me, and there's a difference in it. It's something that if you haven't experienced it, you have no clue what I'm talking about. But if you are experiencing it, and you say, I know what you're talking about because I'm experiencing it. That's the way it is, friends. Until you're actually experiencing it, people, and Brother Brown, I just heard him say, he said, so many people think they're there. They think they're doing it. They think they have it. They think they're born again because they have some kind of fleshly evidence. This ain't a fleshly evidence. This is something inside of you. There's something inside of you that you see. It's a different life than it used to be. It makes you do things and act a way and love and hate and all these things that there's no way you can do that in your own ability because you tried. Standing by that angel of the Lord, you think you'd just be shouting and screaming. He said, that's not it. It scares you to death nearly. That's why, friends, when you get in that place along with God, it's such a humble place. It's such a place of reverence. And sometimes you just want to sit there and just be still. And sometimes you want to scream and shout. It just depends on how the Spirit leads you in the moment. He says, so you see, there's a difference in just rejoice and bubble dancing, which is all right. And then coming down to the real thing. There is where the fear, it's a fearful thing. So not that you fear your loss, but really before angelic being, the Holy Ghost himself standing there. The Holy Ghost himself standing there. Remember he said the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost gives way for the Holy Ghost himself. It's him himself. It's not just a gift. It's not the gift. You know, so many people have the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's wonderful. He said you give the gift gives way for the giver himself. Changing you, making that difference. When you have the testimonies we have, I see a difference. I see how I'm acting different. I see how God's dealing with me. Brother and sister, that's the Holy Ghost. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get all this junk here out of the way so he can express himself. This is what's stuck. He's down here. I have no doubt he's down here. And many people in this assembly this morning, he's living in here. But you know why we don't see more of him? We got too much junk up in here, and he can't express himself out through us. That revelation, that's why Brother Branham said we should pray for revelation more than anything else, because the more revelation down here, it takes control of this up here, gets rid of this junk. It comes out, so we need that revelation. Let's look what Moses was doing. Exodus 33 says this. Now, this is after Israel had sinned. They made the calf, and, you know, Moses had come down, and all that had happened. So then after that, the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt into the land which I swore unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. So God said, I swore it to him, I'm still going to give it to you. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. God was still keeping his promise. But he said, I will send an angel before thee. He said, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. So here God said, okay, you guys did a horrible sin. After all the evidence I gave you, all the scientific evidence. They could still see the pillar of cloud at day, the pillar of fire at night, and they were there making a golden calf. How did that happen? Just same way message believers do it today. Same way we build our idols today. We're trying to see something instead of just taking God by faith. And yet they had the physical evidence. They could still remember the Red Sea. They could remember all the miracles in Egypt. And yet they, because things weren't going the way they wanted to, and Moses had disappeared for a few days, they said, oh my goodness, we got to have to go back to Egypt. So let's go ahead and build a denomination around this message. And let's go ahead and, feel like we have something to do in this. Had to erect their own God. Brother Branham's been gone for so long, we'll look what this message really about and come up with a new doctrine to follow. What was it? It was the God of judgment speaking. He said, if I go with you with all this sin, I'll probably just destroy you on the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. This was a God of judgment. This is God of justice. This is God who cannot abide sin. And here he had been with them. He had the angel of his presence in their camp. And then they had gone doing something like that. He said, I can't even deal with you anymore. I can't be with you because if you do that with me around, I'll just destroy you. So I'm just going to send an angel with you instead of me. But there is a God of mercy, ready to intervene. And what was he going to use to do it? His prophet. So look at the relationship Moses had with God. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Oh, that's amazing. Here and in other places, it said no man ever had that relationship where God spoke to them like that ever before, ever since. He spoke to him as a friend, face to face. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed out of his presence. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. So what did he say? Now, you said you're not going to go with me. You just said you want me to take him up, but you're just going to send an angel. I don't know this angel. I know thee. I want to know you more. I know you face to face, but now you're going to leave me stranded out here with all these rebellious people. And God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Oh, Moses intervened. He said, if we're not going up, and Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He said, if you're not going to go with me, we don't even want to go. Brother and sister, if that's not the attitude we need to have, if God ain't with me, there's no point in going to church. There's no point of being a Christian. I might as well eat, drink, and be merry, because life ain't worth living without his presence. If you have a seed of God in you and it's come to life, then you know that without Jesus Christ in your life every day, life is boring, it's scary, it's anxious, it's fearful, it's not worth living. It's no reason to get up in the morning. It's no reason to go to work, because there's something missing. The most important part of your life is missing. And that's what brought you to where you are right now, because you cannot find anything out in that world to live for. Some of us tried for years and years, and no matter what we did, we drank from Satan's cisterns, we drank from his cesspools, we did everything we could, but there's nothing that could satisfy that. And our attitude by now is, if you're not going with me, I don't want to go. What's the point of going to church if we're just another dead denomination? What's the point of living if I get up in the morning and he's not with me? Oh, my, religion's not enough. Moses is longing for God's presence. He said, if you're not going to go with us, just don't even take us. Just let us die here in the wilderness. Because Satan will offer you all kinds of things, all kinds of substitutes. Yeah, but what about this? And that's where our addictions come from. So many addictions, people think, oh, it's just drugs and alcohol and smoking. There is 1,000 addictions way worse than that, friends. It's just easy to point those out. Well, this person smokes. I smell the alcohol, the cigarettes. That person's doing drugs. This person's addicted to pornography. What about all the religious addictions, all the stuff that's going on in your mind, which is worse than all that? Because you know what? You think you're okay. We're addicted to this religion. We're addicted to that part. We're addicted to whatever else it is. We have to get this anointing, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. You fought those things. Addicted to our families. Something, anything that you, look, friends, this is what it is. Anything you put before God for your comfort before God is an addiction. And when you're going through a hard time and you're going through a desert and you can't get a hold of God and he seems a million miles away, what do you turn to? What do you turn to satisfy you? What do you turn to drink from instead of sticking there and saying, God, you promise I'm staying here because I'm certain of God. So Moses said, he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? What's he saying? He said, now, if you don't go with us, how is anyone going to know that we're yours, that we found grace in your sight, that you have chosen us? Is it not that thou goest with us? Is it your presence that makes the difference? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. Oh, my. What's Moses saying? He's saying this. If you don't go with us and people know you're with us, and that's what separates us from all the denominations, and that's what makes us different from everybody else, is your presence with us. That's the difference between us, and I'm not talking about us as a group, but you as an individual gathered together, but you as an individual compared to all the people in the denominational systems, I'm talking about message believers too, the only difference is that you have the presence of God in your life and they don't. That's what separates us. That's the word for this day happening. You want to know if the mighty God is here? That's the mighty God in you, in his presence. This is the way you see God. This is the appearing of Jesus Christ when his presence is in you. And that's the only difference. Then you can have all the shouting and anointings and preaching and singing and worship. And it means nothing if it's just an anointing. It's not his presence. Oh, they got the angel. We have the angel of God with us. Moses said, I don't want that angel. I want you. I don't want just a feeling. I don't want just a dance. I don't want just emotion. I don't want just a feeling, emotion, or a baptism. I need the giver himself. Friends, that's the only thing that puts you in the rapture for us. We're not going in the rapture because we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to have the giver, the Holy Ghost himself, living in you. That's the only thing that separates us, God's presence in the camp. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Brother and sister, if God has not spoke that to you personally, you need to get on your knees until he does. He needs to say, you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. You always were in my mind. Your name was on the book before the foundation of the world, and I have recognized you here, and you have found grace, and I know you by name. And you need to have that relationship with Christ himself. Anything else is just a religion. Now, how does he do that for you? It's between you and him. It's different from everybody. But he comes to you and lets you know that you always were his. You just recognize it one day. Why? Because you found grace. Why did you find grace? Because I lived such a good, holy life. The holier you try to live, the further away you get from him. It's when you surrendered and just accepted that he's going to do this work or you're going to go to hell. Either he does this work or you're going to hell, because you ain't going to save yourself from it. But you recognize that he's been calling you, he's been dealing with you, he has loved you, he has protected you, he has watched over you, he has took you through one trial after another trial after another trial. He's broke your heart. He's crushed you. He destroyed you. And the whole time you can see that, yeah, but he was there the whole time bringing you through it to get you the place he wanted you to be. So what makes us different? It's not our doctrines. Well, we believe different. So Baptists believe different than Methodists. It's not a doctrine. It's not a holiness. Well, we live holier than other people. Compared to who? There's some people outlive us as far as holiness, if you want to just look at it like that. Well, it's our miracles. You got miracles out in all kinds of denominational churches. You can have miracles not even in church. Non-Christians have miracles. His presence, the mighty God in us today. Look at Moab. Brother Branham says, look up at Moab, that great organization, the same God, same doctrine, same quotes, same holiness. Fundamental, they were both right. But what Balaam failed to see was that smitten rock, that brass serpent, the shout of the king into the camp. They failed to see that identification of God among them. What was it? The presence of God in the camp. That was the thing they failed to see. That was the difference. One message church has his presence. One message church has an anointing. Well, let's not leave it there because that just makes the church, right? One person sitting in the pew has his presence. One person has his anointing. Same pew, same church. It's just the way it is, friends. It's you and God, an individual. It's not you and your family. It's not you and your pastor. It's not you and your husband or wife or anything else. It's you and God. He reveals it to you as an individual, not to someone else. Because he says, I know you by name. Isn't that amazing? Such a mighty God, yet he condescends down. He says, you know, I just want to find one person here. I just want to find one person. I just want just one person. I want that relationship just with one person. I want it with you and that person and that person and that person. He says, that's the real believing crew, Christ with us, Christ in us. A little while the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me, for I will be in you, be with you, even in you to the end of the world. Do you see the mighty God today? The first place you have to see him, friends, is in yourself. Well, let me change that. You might see him in someone else and say, I need that. And then you get him for yourself because you're willing to surrender. Remember, they failed to see it. They didn't understand it. How could it be? And the promised word was for their age. He was a promise fulfilled, yet they fail to see it, a sure sign of a true prophet. So many times people fail to see it because they're looking at the wrong evidence. They need to see some kind of physical, scientific evidence. And God says, that's not for my believers. Oh, we still enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. We have the cloud picture. We have the light picture. We have all this kind of evidence. But that's not where our faith rests on, friends. Not a picture. Jesus never said, search the pictures, and then you have eternal life. He said, search the scriptures. And Lord, keep talking to Moses. Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thy name. And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, wait a minute. What was Moses talking about? Show him his glory. Moses had seen God in the pillar of fire in a bush, talk to him directly. He had seen him do the mighty miracles down in Egypt, destroyed Egypt. He had come out with them, a mighty, mighty hand brought him out. He saw the pillar of fire. He saw the pillar of cloud. He saw the Red Sea opened up. He saw him come down and thunder on the mountain, lightning and thunder and quakes and all this kind of stuff. He spoke to him lift to ear. He walked into the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord came in after him. That cloud was right there with him in the tabernacle. And then he says, I want to see your glory. What in the world more does he want? Wasn't that enough? No, it wasn't. There is something in Moses that was still longing for something more. And that same thing with us. We can have anointings and baptisms and all that. There's something inside you, but I want to know you personally. I want to know you, your nature. I want to know what it is that makes you do things that I don't understand. Oh, praise the Lord. I want to know why you put me through these things. I don't know why how this trial is going to help. I want to understand the pain and the grief I'm going through. I need to know your nature. I need to know what it is about me that you keep doing this to me. Why did you do this? Why is this going on? I need to know. I need to know this love that constrains you. No matter what I do, you still forgive me. No matter what I go through, nothing can separate me from your love. I need to know you like that.
Oh, I'm wonderful. I love the pillar of fire. I love this. I love all that you've done. You're a mighty God. You've shown your mighty hand. But I want to know you intimately, face to face, more than I've seen. Deuteronomy says, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. No prophet in Israel had a greater relationship with God than Moses did. And yet he said, but I want to know your glory. Show me thy glory. Show me you face to face. David talks about this in Psalms 41. He says, as a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Thirsting, dying of thirst. I've got to come in your presence. He said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? A thirst inside you. It's just a desire. There's something there. This is, brother and sister, this is why God hates that lukewarm, that Laodicean lukewarm, nauseating spirit, because it just goes to church. Oh, I live a good life. I pay my tithes. I say the right things. I dress the right way. I worship or I don't worship. I preach or I don't preach. I sing. I do whatever I'm supposed to do. And it's just nauseating because that desire, that thirst is not there. They substitute it with religion. By the way, you can't put that thirst there. You can't put it there. But you can walk in all the light that God allows you to see. You can't do that. All the physical manifestation was not enough. He wanted to understand his nature, his characteristics. So what does God do? He says, I will make my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee and will be gracious, and to whom I will be gracious will show mercy, on whom I will show mercy. So he's right already said, I'm going to do this. And he's already talking about his characteristics. I'm going to be gracious to who I want to. Excuse me. I'll be merciful to who I want to be merciful. That's already his nature. What's he saying? He says, I'm in charge. I get to choose. I get to elect. You don't elect yourself. This is me. This is me doing this great work. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. I'm going to skip down a little bit. He says, I will take away my hand. He's going to put him on a cleft of the rock. I'm going to cover you with my hand. He said, I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So here, God heard Moses' plea. God loved it. He said, yes, I want to show myself. I want to show you my glory. But now you can't see my face because it will kill you. It will strike you down. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you the best I can, the closest I can. This gets me excited, Brother Paul. I'm going to cover you up, but now you're going to see just the back parts. Why? Because what he's showing is Moses, the closest I can express, the most intimate I can get with you is in a human body. It's more than the pillar of fire, visible pillar of fire. It's more than coming down on Sinai. Because why? Because Moses, you can understand me more if I come as a man. Oh. Why did he have to come as Jesus Christ? So that we could understand the mighty God in flesh. He says that's what it's about, because we could see the pillar of fire, we could see all these things, but until we see God in flesh, we still don't understand him, because what Jesus is doing, expressing the Father living through flesh, this is his character, so we could look at him and say, I have seen the Father. But oh, that wasn't enough, was it? God wanted more than that. He said, now, I'm going to come in you. You're going to know me not because you saw me in Jesus Christ, not because you saw me in history, not because you see me in another person, but you're going to see me in yourself. And you're going to know what it is to have the Father living through you. And you can say, when you see me, you've seen the Father. My. You say, Phil, that's so arrogant. Who do you think you are? I am who the Father said I am. I am who the Word says I am. And I see the evidence. It's living through me. So if you don't recognize that, don't call me arrogant. I'm going to call you foolish, because you ain't going all the way with God. You're looking at this old flesh. You're looking at your own flesh. The biggest problem we have, it's not so much looking at other people's flesh. It's looking at your own. You see your faults and your mistakes and, oh my goodness, God, when are you going to do this? And how can I be? And how can I ever confess what you're doing because I had this mistake and I had this bad attitude? Brother and sister, you keep looking at your own flesh. Go ahead, and you can be looking at it right into the tribulation period. But if you look beyond the flesh and you look what God is doing and look at the desire of your heart and that thirst you have for more God, and you say, God, show me your glory. I need to see more of you. He said, I'm going to show you, because now it's not through a glass darkly. Now we see him face to face. Moses could not see him face to face. It was not that time. If Moses was here this morning, he'd be screaming. He said, do you realize what you have? Do you realize that I longed for what you have? Elijah would be saying, do you realize that you have just not even prophets, just a bunch of nobody people, but you have a relationship with God that I only could have as a prophet. And now it's even more than that, because he lives in you more than he lived in me, because I couldn't even be born again. Friends, if this would, let it drop. Let it be a revelation. Jesus, help us to see this, because how can we sit here and stare when we recognize what God is doing, what we had the potential for right here in our midst? Oh, we need revelation. Oh, how we need it. Listen, I'm going to just go a little bit. I just find this incredibly, the thought came to me, and I saw what Brother Branham said something. That theophany, that body that Moses saw, it was not the same as when God appeared to Abraham. It was not the same as when Jesus Christ was here in flesh. Because you could look at that person and look at their flesh and not die. Look at their face. Remember? But if when Moses stood there, he see that man walking away, if that man would have turned around and Moses would have seen his face, it would have struck him dead. Because it was a different kind of body. It wasn't made out of the dust of the earth. Remember when Brother Branham said when he wanted to appear to Abraham, he picked up dust, he blew it into a body, stepped into it, he blew another one for the angels. And then when he stepped out of that, that dust fall back down. This wasn't that. This was a theophany body. It was different than what I'm going to keep going. I don't have time to get into that. I'm not even going to read that quote, but Brother Bram talks about that. But it was different, brother and sister. Let's keep going. So, friends, what we have to do is recognize the expression of Christ in your age. This is why people don't go into the promised land for their day. Every age has a different promised land. And we know, well, the promised land is the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but what portion of that could you step into? Because under Luther, they had less of that than under Wesley, because they were just growing up. But they still could walk in the word for the day. The manifestation of the word for the day was the promised land for their day. That making sense? That's why we had to have a message come so we could know what our promised land is. Otherwise, we would just have what they had in 1906 Pentecost, which was a restoration of the gifts. But that's not enough in our day, because we have a message. Now, this is the promised land, that word that is the message of the hour, for every day had a message of their hour, right? We have to hear the message of the hour for our day, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, to a greater extent than ever has been in the bride before. It's got to be a pure word, because he marries us in this age and he's one with us, and we become him, because a man and wife, when they're married, they become one. But this is the only age that he could do that, because of other ages, they still had a hybrid word they were feeding on. Their soul was not pure from that hybrid word. They had a false seed in there. And so he said, I believe you're my bride. I love you. I've redeemed. You're going to be part of the rapture. You're going to come up in the rapture. But I cannot marry you because you're still partaking of another man's seed. But in this age, we're no longer partaking of any hybrid seed. And so now he says, now I can marry you, and I can express myself to you in a greater way than ever, and I'm going to take you all the way to a body change, because of perfect faith and perfect love can produce it. Is that making sense? I hope so. I hope this is what you're experiencing in your life. But friends, we have to recognize and accept that for our day. It's not enough. Well, Brother Paul, he's a wonderful person. He loves the Lord, and he just lives a good, holy life. And I don't get it, friends. There's a million people who live like that, and they're not going in the rapture. There's something more than just living a good, holy, religious life. It's himself. First John 4 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. What's he saying? He said that Antichrist spirit is so close, especially in this age, that it'll deceive all but the very elect, because they can do exactly what we do. They can preach the same things. They can have the same manifestations of spirit. They can have miracles. They can have all these things and be a devil. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That's one of my favorite scriptures. I preach it all the time. Brother Jerry preaches it. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That does not say every mouth. It's the spirit. It's the life within you. The life within you confesses. How does it confess it? By manifesting it. Your life manifests that Jesus Christ is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The word for this day. The presence. His presence in, friends, that's not a feeling. Oh, I can have a feeling with it, but brother and sister, let me just, I think I spoke on this Thursday, I don't remember. But you can go through a desert period where you don't feel God for 3 weeks or 3 months. Brother Bram said, you know, when he'd get everything right, he'd go to God, now I know God's going to move, God would sit silent. Brother and sister, if you've been walking with the Lord very long at all, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because there is times when you go to church and you might as well be sitting in the library. You can read the Bible, you might as well be reading the newspaper. You go to pray and you might as well just get on TikTok, because your mind is going all over the place. Don't get on TikTok. But friends, it has nothing to do with it. The presence is there. That old story where a guy is walking through the hard time, he saw one foot of set of footprints. Because when you don't feel God, that's when he's carrying you. You know how I know? You know how you know? Because when you get past that desert, he's still with you. He kept you through that time. You didn't run off to the world. You didn't run off and do whatever. Something kept you when you didn't feel like a Christian. You didn't think like a Christian. You couldn't get a hold of God. But something kept you believing the whole time. Oh, there's some power right there. Satan hates that, because when you're going through the hard times, you're going through those deserts, and you still won't go and drink from his cisterns, then you know something's holding you. It's his presence in your life. Something has changed you. That's called walking by faith. That gets me excited, because I know what it's like to hit the desert and hit the devil. I mean, right off the, oh, here I go again. I was in and up and down, in and out, and just couldn't, you know, get to church just so defeated. Brother and sister, I hope you can't tell when I'm going through the desert, because when I'm going through the desert, I'm trying to be just like him when I'm not going through the desert. Now, I don't always pull that off, but here's the thing about it, brother and sister, I still know God has me, because I'm not running to those worldly things anymore. Boy, that's powerful. That's what I mean by freedom. I always talk about freedom. That's what I'm talking about. I'm free from that. Just because I'm dying of thirst doesn't mean I have to go drink from Satan's cisterns. Oh, I love that. Praise the Lord. Let's keep going. Brother Bramman asks, why did there come such a message today to do what is done? Why did it come? Why? Why do we need this message? Because we had to produce Christ in this day for the word for this hour. That's what it's for. So we could recognize him behind the veil he is in today. He hides behind a veil. We don't have time to go into all this a little bit. But he is always behind a veil when he manifests. And the closest he can manifest to man so that we understand him is to be a flesh veil, another human being. That's why Jesus came, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We have to see him in flesh. The believers recognize him behind the veil, the age they live, and that's what makes them a believer. That's what makes you a believer, because you recognize Christ in your day. You hear his voice. So notice the veil, the human flesh. Now the sin-loving people could not see that. You think, well, I'm talking about the sinners. No, he's not. Those traditional religious people, they couldn't see that because he was a man. Why? The human flesh hid God. Now, here's something Brother Branham said different time. He said, you said, well, if I lived back in the time of Jesus, I'd have believed Jesus. He said, you do the same thing right then that you're doing today. If you don't recognize him in flesh today, you would not have recognized him in flesh back then. There's no way. Because your nature is going to react the same to to God, wherever age you're living in. He's hid from sin-loving people and traditional religious people. Let's not go looking out at the denomination. This is so our message. I hate saying this. I'm going to say it. The longer we go, the more I realize that so many message believers don't know Jesus Christ. They're just good, traditional, religious people. Because you just don't see the manifestation in their life. And I'm not walking around, let me check that person. But you just don't see it. Because sometimes you fellowship with someone and you just connect. It's the greatest thing in the world. And you connect and they're just a fellowship. And you know that that spirit in you is connecting with that spirit in them. And most of the time you talk to message believers. I'm not talking about just here, but I'm talking about wherever you go. And you have a good talk and you talk about God and you talk about, but there's not that connection. You think, what's wrong? What's wrong? We talk about everything, but why don't we ever talk about that thing that means the most to us? Brother Bram said something like, he said, if you'd talk to someone more than a couple minutes and you're not talking about God, there's something wrong. He didn't say it that way, but that's what he said. You know, how can you talk about someone a couple minutes without bringing them up? Now, that doesn't mean you're going to work and you're going, let's go talk about God with this person because I got to prove who I am. That's not what he's talking about at all. In fact, he said, you don't have a job to go preach to those people. You have a job to go to work. You're not supposed to be there preaching to those people. Now, he didn't say it that way, but he said that. Boy, that just busts a lot of us in the face, doesn't it? The Gentile church has also been blinded from the veil. After it's been tore off and showed God the ecclesiastical veil. What's the ecclesiastical veil? It's our religion. Why don't we recognize God? Because I know that I'm a believer. I know God does this in my life. And you say it this way, but I just think I'm pretty much good the way it is. That's exactly why they rejected Christ when he came. He said, I didn't come to heal those that don't need a doctor, but I came to heal the sick. And those people who don't think they need a doctor, they said, I'm not sick. I know God. I'm born again. I have this. I'm a believer. And they have all this evidence before them. And God's saying, yeah, but that's not what I'm looking for. He said, after it's been tore off and showed God the ecclesiastical veil. How? By veiling the word in human being again. That's exactly what Israel failed to see. If it would have been some angel or something, Israel would have believed it. But being it could not be an angel, it had to be a man. He goes on later, a different message. He said, now, if he had been a great pillar of fire that come down, see, a great pillar of fire had come down and showed them that's what he was, that was this great pillar of fire, they might have believed that. What's Brother Branham saying here? If Jesus would have showed up as a pillar of fire, they would have believed it. If it had came a great mighty angel with great wings and just shooting lightning bolts all over, they would have accepted it. Scientific evidence. It would have changed him. They would have wanted to make him their king. Now, this is the kind of Messiah I want. This is the kind of religion I want. So I'm going to ask, I'm going to get really, really personal. This might get a little rough here for a second. What if all of a sudden the pillar of fire appeared right there? You could see it just swirling around. You could hear it. How much different would the atmosphere be in here in the next few seconds? What if that pillar of fire came over and hovered right over you? How much different would your thoughts be? How much different would your attitude be? You say, you know, for the next 6 months, we couldn't talk with anybody but bring it up. Man, we had the pillar of fire. Before you got to the parking lot, you'd be on your phone. Man, you should have been at church today. We saw the pillar of fire. Can I hurt your feelings? We have something greater. Because a sinner could see that pillar of fire and remain a sinner. But if you have that pillar of fire inside you, that's greater because it's him dwelling in flesh. That pillar of fire wanted to dwell in flesh, and now he can. He is in flesh. And we don't see him with our physical eyes. It's a revelation. It's been revealed, which is so much greater. But how much different would we be if we would see that scientific evidence? You know the problem is? We're still looking with these eyes too much. We're still trying to contact God too much with this physical outside being here. That pillar of fire appearing before us means nothing if you're not born again. It's just going to condemn you one day. Well, how much difference it would be for us if we saw that? I'd love to see it. Don't get me wrong. Oh, that'd be wonderful. But that does not, unless there's a revelation comes with it, it's not going to do you a whole lot of good. Isn't that harsh? But we come to church, we sit and we stare and we think about this, we think about that, and the very same pillar of fire is indwelling your brother and sisters and the minister, whatever. He's trying to talk to us. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to reveal himself to you more. Do we recognize the mighty God is here today? Or do we just look around and say we're just a church full of good people? Now, like I said, it's going to get a little rough. How we treat each other indicates the level of this revelation. Because how you treat each other, your brother and sister, is how you would treat Jesus Christ if he came walking through that door. Oh, no, no, if I saw him walking through the door, oh, no, I would not treat him like I treat Brother Paul. Well, guess who needs greater revelation then? Because the way we treat each other is how we treat. If we believe this, what I'm saying, you've been saying amen, some of you. And Christ is living in me. Christ is living in you. And then, brother and sister, if he is in there, the way you treat that person is how you're treating Jesus Christ. Now, I'm preaching to myself because I still get frustrated. I still get all these, you know, attitudes and stuff. And man, I just said, Brother Paul, goodness sakes. If that was Jesus Christ sitting there with those nail-scarred hands, how would I treat him? Would we have divisions and schisms and sects and attitudes and holding grudges and all this kind of stuff? Well, I don't fellowship with that person. I don't fellowship with that person. So you don't fellowship with Jesus Christ according to what flesh he's in. Well, that person's not even a believer. They're just a sinner. Well, do you treat sinners the way Jesus treated sinners? We have something I found around the message. I find it very interesting. Around the message, we rebuke and condemn sinners and fellowship with Pharisees. Jesus rebuked and condemned Pharisees and fellowshiped with sinners. I'm not making that up. It's in your Bible. Go read it. Well, Brother Phil says we should go down and hang out at the bar with the sinners. You're going to take that attitude. You answer to God for that blasphemous thought. You know that's what I'm talking about. It's not what I'm talking about. Just treat him the way Jesus did. That's all you have to do. Let me read just a little bit more here. A couple more quotes, we're going to be done. Why does God hide himself from certain people and reveal himself to others? Remember, he thanked the Father. You hid this from the wise and prudent, revealed it to babes. He treats people different. Why does he just reveal to some people? Brother Branham said, but you see what he did so that he could bypass all them smart, wise people. He just revealed himself like he promised Moses. See, I'll speak to them through a prophet. He was the son of man, a prophet, and some of them recognized it. About 100% of 100 in the world, they believed it. The rest of them didn't, but he was just the same. Why did he want to do that? Why did he want to bypass? Because they weren't elect. It just really comes down to it. He's only going to reveal himself to the elect. Say, that's not fair. Talk to him about it. This is what he did. He doesn't treat everybody the same. He gives us all a chance, but he don't treat everyone the same. And let me just go ahead and be blunt with that, too. He gives his elect a chance. He's just saying about everyone else. But you know what happens if elect don't come along? You know, he'll deal with someone, and you've seen it happen. He'll deal with someone for a while, and they might come to church, but all of a sudden, you know, then they just fade away, and they're gone. You never hear from them again. But you know what he does for the elect? He'll deal with them a while. They go back, but he drags them back in, and he'll deal with them again. They'll go away. He'll drag them back in. He say, I don't know why you keep running away, but I'm going to save all the Father gave me, so you might as well just settle down and accept it. He is going to get you whether you want to or not. That should make you feel safe. That should take away all fear. Amen. He said, God can't break his word. In the last day, it has to be the same thing. What blinded Israel? The man. You're a man making yourself God. That's why they killed him for today, because the message comes through man, not angels. God can't change his way, change his word. He said he changed not. Notice, the Gentiles are just as blinded today as Israel was. What? Because the veil, God veiled in a human being, blinded Israel. Brothers and sisters, that's the same thing that's happening today. It's because it's just a man up here preaching, or it's just your wife, it's just your dad, it's just a kid. And you look at that and you say, well, my dad has this problem, my kids has this problem, my pastor has this problem. Brother Phil, I know all the things you've done and said in your life, and we're supposed to listen to what you say and think. You're going to tell us the pillar of fire is in you. If you had that pillar of fire in you, you recognize a pillar of fire in me, because it's the same spirit, and the word that's being spoke is not me speaking it, it's the very pillar of fire speaking it to you. And something inside of you, your mind might resist it, but something inside of you says, amen, that's the truth, because the Holy Ghost cannot deny its own self. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to read one more quote, but go ahead and stand so I have to quit. He says, so now in this age, when the old denominational traditional veil has been rent from the word of God, so it can be manifested. Have you seen it? Have you seen that old veil be rent? Have you looked at your old religion and see that religion doesn't cover me anymore? It's not enough. I got to get rid of it, because there's something new. There's something more real. It's changed in our life. He said, you see what I mean? The tradition says all those things are past. Let us soak a little bit. The things are past. Why do we have people who just want to listen to tapes? Because they think those things are past. You have to have just a prophet. You can't have it from a preacher, because why? They don't recognize the pillar of fire is still here with us today. How can you say a man is born again, has a gift to preach, and then say he can't keep it straight? How can you say the Holy Spirit, that the pillar of fire is within a minister or within you, but you can't keep it straight? You only can hear it from the prophet. You have a weak pillar of fire. You have a big lighter. He said, in this last day, that traditional veil has been rent apart, and here stands the pillar of fire. Now, do we believe that or not? Or was that just when Brother Branham was here? If you think that was just when Brother Branham was here, you need to get born again. If it's not still here, then he's not the same as he always was. He said, here he is, manifesting the word for this day. The veil is rent. If he's the same today as he always was, the pillar of fire is here in human beings, manifesting what Moses longed to see. All the prophets, they longed to see it. All the sages. Brother Branham would have loved to be here right now. You know why God took him? Because we'd still be looking at him. He had to take him away. So what we look at is the pillar of fire living in human beings today. Do you recognize him today? He's still the same. You can tell whether or not you recognize him, friend, by what level, by how you treat people. It's really simple. If the pillar of fire is in you, if you recognize the mighty God, then you treat people the way he treated people. It's not you being religious. Well, I got to be nice to Brother Wayne because I'm a Christian. Go ahead and get born again. Well, I have to be nice to Brother Jim because, you know, he's older than me. I'm supposed to respect my elders. But when something inside you, it's a living being. I hope you know what I'm talking about. It's just something that lives. It just does it. And all he's looking for us is to get rid of this junk in our mind so he can live out more. And he puts us through the trials. The trials you go through, friends, if you go through it with the right attitude, it produces Christ in you. Because it kills this old nasty nature, which is all we're looking for. Isn't that right? I hope so. Lord God, we're so thankful. Thankful, Lord, that you would come again today and just encourage us and show us your work in this day. Show us who we are. We can look at your word. We find ourselves in your word. And, oh, Lord, when we see it, recognizing that, it calls us a believer. It identifies us as being believers because we act the way believers acted. We have the power in our lives that believers have. We see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord Jesus, what an awesome time to be a Christian. It's a horrible time to be to live a world to live in with all the darkness around us. But Father, the more light we see, the more close we are getting to that rapture. We're going to take us away. And it's got to be so close because this light is shining so bright. Father, we want to see it in ourselves first, but we need to see it in each other. I pray that, Father, you would just manifest. Let each one of us go through the trials and the testing that we have to go through. Help us to go through it with the right attitude, Father, so that when we come through that trial, we don't have to go through it again and again. Because why? Because it has produced itself. It has produced Christ. We have died to that old idea. We have died to that addiction. We have died to those thoughts. And we have only taken your thoughts. Lord Jesus, continue to work on us. Continue this work that you have started. You promised that you would complete what you finish what you started, Lord, so we can just walk in this way we're going. Keep this trajectory that we're going on, Lord Jesus, until we see you. Lord, one day we long to see. We see each other. We see you in face to face in our brothers and sisters. But, Lord, one day we're going to see you face to face in your physical body. Oh, Lord, what a time that will be. What a time that will be that will make all of this, what we're going through now, seem so insignificant. All the trials will be so small. Father, we know that day is just so close. Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Bring to pass the things that have to happen in this world so that you can get us out of here. It's going to be a rough time. It's going to be hard. It's going to be trials. It's going to be a squeeze. We don't know how this all looks, but, Father, we do know we have a promise that you'll take us through it all. We trust you. We believe you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. We see face to face. We see Christ in our brothers and sisters. We see him when we look in the mirror, and it's a mirror of ourselves. We see ourselves reflecting out of here. But one day, brother and sister, we're going to get a body change. We're going to meet him in the air. Then we're going to see him like we've never seen him before. Our eyes are going to behold him in his own body. There is nothing on this earth worth missing that for. Nothing. What would you give in exchange for that? You come too far. Look at the trials you've gone through. Look at the hardships you've gone through. Would you change? And yet, here at the very end, friends, people are going to be turning off. They're going to get all the way up to the very end and step out. Why? Because they never had it to begin with. They thought they did. Thousands of messy believers think they have it. They're going to step off at the end and say, oh, this is a little too much. It's just too hard. I got to feed my kids. I don't have a job. I don't have any money. I'm going to be out on the street. I'm going to be living at the mercy of elements, whatever it is. They say, I got to have a job. To have a job, you have to agree to whatever the system has in place. They're going to step away. But I'm not going to. And you're not going to. You know how I know? Because there's something inside me already keeping me. And it's not me. It's not you. It's the reality of who God is. Amen. I hope you know what I'm talking about.